Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs on the planet. And I can say from personal experience that they have awesome customer service. Use the code MMOReporter at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD. And by Audible, the best audiobook service in existence. Seriously, if you like stories at all, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. Those ads help cover our server costs for the show, but if you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate and show us some love. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to episode 64 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I'm joined by the king of legendary cards himself, the myth, Jake Crawford.
Oh, wow. That's very nice of you to say.
I know. Especially, well, I don't want to spoil anything, Jake, but just did our card pack opening and you didn't give me a legendary card this week.
I thought I'd hold on to it this week, you know, put it in my back pocket, you know.
That's pretty messed up.
I may have snuck away with it.
You came on the show. I thought you would pull out, like, two legendary cards or something, be extra nice. after four shows in a row of giving me legendary cards, or three, we're not sure. Math is hard.
Math is hard. And, you know, the percentages of us getting a fifth were just very low. So I'll blame the math on Blizzard there.
All right, your math powers are great, but not that great.
No, yeah, it's more luck. Let's leave it up to luck there.
All right. Well, thanks for giving us some good luck, Jake. I'm sure we'll just move back into legendaries next time after you're gone.
Yeah,
so, thanks in advance.
My luck gets greater as I'm not in the area.
All right, Jake. So for people that don't know who you are and are confused why we're talking about luck and legendary cards, who are you? Why are you here?
Why am I here? That's the big question. Why are we all here?
It is, right? It's hard.
Well, I love Hearthstone, and I had to talk about Hearthstone with other people that love it. But also, I've been donating towards the Dust Bowl for a good while now, and I politely asked Josh, hey, could I come on this show that you have every week? And he politely said yes, so I'm very thankful for that. he said no a bunch of times, but I was persistent.
Well, the trick was actually you asked me like 6 months ago, and I said, well, maybe if you pay $10 every month to sponsor this Dust Bowl, you know, then maybe we could work out an arrangement.
That was in the fine print. I did. I did read that.
Yeah. And then I twirled my mustache and laughed maniacally with large bags with dollar signs on them. It was great.
What you don't know, I've been paying you in Monopoly money this whole time.
Oh, no. Hey, but if Blizzard takes it, I'm happy.
I know. It's strange that it worked.
Well, now we talked about it, now they know.
Oops. So, shh. Don't tell them.
That'll be our little secret. Yeah. Okay. So Jake is, he's just been a listener of the show. And like always, we love bringing listeners onto the show to do deck battles, to share their strategies, share their different perspectives. More and more, this is kind of my favorite part of the show now, because when we started, there weren't any other Hearthstone podcasts.
Right.
And now there's more of them. They all have different styles. But I don't know of one that does this. And so I really like getting to hear other people's opinions.
Yeah, I definitely agree. This is one of the very unique parts of the Hearthstone community, is, you know, bringing in the listeners and actually letting them participate with more than just like a question or two.
Yeah. Well, you have used up half of your allotment of words for this show.
I have. So. It's like Scrabble. I'm running out of tiles here.
You are. Quick, use a Z and a Q. Get extra points.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beat you to it. I'm going to quiz you.
Oh, I'll take the quiz.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Do I get any lifelines?
Yes.
Okay.
But I hope you won't need it for this question.
Okay.
How long have you been playing Hearthstone, and what parts of the game are you most excited about?
Well, I've actually been playing since the closed beta. I believe that was, someone correct me if I'm wrong, it's April of 2 years ago, I think.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. You had to apply through their website to get a beta code. I wasn't lucky enough to be in the alpha, but yeah.
Hey, that's still pretty good.
Well, some of my favorite parts of the game are definitely Arena. For the longest time, I just played Arena solely. And then I found some people online, some other community members that just make really unique decks and that are fun to play, not just the same thing over and over again. And those that really drew me back to competitive play, was just trying new stuff. And with the expansion of cards that have been coming out lately, just opening up new avenues to try old cards, make them better.
Yeah, I mean, that's some of my favorite stuff too. And that's honestly why I've enjoyed the PvE side of Hearthstone so much, because I feel like I can play those kind of goofy, silly decks and not worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or sometimes when you're like trying to climb the ladder, you can't afford to be, you know, inefficient.
Right.
I love building those decks. Like, as soon as I saw the Unearthed Raptor, you just have to go out and build a deck, even if it's not awesome. You just have to try it.
Yeah, and also when you play against the computer, they don't emote against you hundreds of times.
That's true. I've just gotten in the habit, just insta-squelch.
Yes.
I know. It's sad.
That is a sad world we live in. We can't even take the canned emotes.
I just want to be happy, and when they're saying, like, thank you, thank you.
You know what they're really
saying. Yeah, it's like, come on, leave me alone. I just want to play my Unearthed Raptor and Sludge Belter together. Leave me alone.
It's a really interesting gameplay decision that they made there, letting you only communicate with your opponent through emotes.
Yeah, I remember early on, people were really demanding chat, like full chat. And in hindsight now, that definitely seems to be the right call on Blizzard's part.
Yeah, Blizzard, even imagine you got how bad it right it would there, be. I think. Especially with the rise of it being very popular on mobile. It keeps it very concise and easy to communicate your disdain for someone.
Yeah, it's true. And especially if you're on mobile and someone like sends a long message like, hi, it's great to meet you, how are you doing today? Like, you feel obliged to type back, but it takes forever to type on mobile.
I agree.
Anyways, before we go any further, Jake, let's talk about why we're happy.
Okay.
Because we are happy, despite emotes, despite someone thanking me 20 times in a row, which actually sounds like should make me happy. It didn't.
Yeah, I'm confused, Josh. You're confusing me.
I know. Just don't say oops or thank me ever again. There you go.
Sure.
All right, Jake, why are you happy?
I'm happy because I'm finally on the show talking about Hearthstone. I mean, who wouldn't be happy with that?
That's a cop-out answer, Jake. Give me another one. More happiness.
Don't worry. I've got a few here. Don't worry.
All right. Well, let's not go too crazy.
I was super happy about, you know, what we just talked about, you getting a bunch of legendaries from the donations. So it feels like it's not a lost cause, you know?
Yeah, dude, no joke. You're saving me.
Yeah. And lastly, I'm happy because I can grow a full beard now.
Wait,
it's the perks of growing up, man.
Now, Jake, I don't want to judge you.
Yeah.
You sound kind of old. How old are you?
Kind of old. Wow, Josh, throwing me under the bus here.
I mean, you don't sound like you have recently gone through puberty.
Okay. Yes, I am actually 27.
And just recently you're able to grow a full beard.
Well, yes. I mean, it just, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, what they say, when you drink, it puts hairs on your chest. It actually put it on my face. Had a couple whiskey the other day, and it, you know,
just sprouted out like a chia pet.
I'm not condoning that. I'm just saying it could happen.
There you go. Yeah, we should clarify to all those prepubescent kids who are looking for ways to grow a beard. Don't do that. Don't do that.
When you're old enough, maybe.
When the time comes, you'll know.
Actually, so, I slayed a dragon, and that's how I grew a beard.
Oh, cool. You should have built a beard out of its scales. Just glued it to your face.
It's very morbid, but it is. Yes, I could have.
Well, congrats, Jake. Awesome. Welcome to the Beard Club.
I know. I saw you sporting a beard on your little avatar and, you know, bragging about it, and I had to catch up.
Was I bragging about it?
You're smiling, and you have a beard.
Oh, I see. So my picture, you felt like it was mocking you.
Yes.
So I was sitting there having a great time with my beard. Ooh, look at me plucking out hairs. I don't even care.
Yeah. You could donate half of the beard to another person. It's that big.
There you go. Well, maybe I'll try and do that. If anyone wants half a beard, let me know. Maybe, you know, if you got like a splotchy one, we could work out a deal.
I'm sure there's tons of takers out there. I used to be in their position. No longer.
No longer. You've grown up, sir. Congrats.
Well, thank you.
So I'm happy this week because we actually, once a year, some old, basically friends that I've been friends with all through elementary, middle school, high school, college. So like almost like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been friends. Once a year, we get together still and take our families. We all go up to a cabin in Arrowhead and just hang out for the weekend.
Is this in California?
It is. Yeah. Okay. So it's Arrowhead and like Big Bear is like Southern California's little mountain vacation spot.
Okay.
Because it's only about an hour and a half away, depending on where you are. And it's full snow, mountains, everything you want up there.
Okay.
So we went up there, hung out in the mountains, hung out in a cabin, drank beer. Drink wine, played Risk Legacy, which, Jake, have you ever played this?
I've played Risk.
Oh, Risk Legacy is not Risk, Jake. Hold on.
Extra word at the end, so I was thinking it was different.
So I'm going to sell you this game in like 30 seconds.
Okay, give me the elevator pitch.
This is a version of Risk that you can only play 15 times because every time you play it, permanent change is made to the board.
Whoa.
And to the character to like the factions that you play as, and it's meant to be played with the same people repeatedly, so that as you're going, you're like founding capital cities, nuking countries, upgrading certain factions, and then every time you win, you get to sign the board as well.
Oh, now that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. Yeah, exactly. And you also get to write a little slogan or trash talk next to it, which is fun. We opened it for the first time this year, and we've decided we're going to play one game a year for the next 15 years whenever
Holy
we get
smokes.
Together. So it's super weird when we're sitting there, we're opening, we're playing it, and we looked around the room, and one of my friends has a kid that just went into first grade, I think.
Okay.
And we were just like, he's going to be a sophomore in college by the time we finish this game. Like, that's just outrageous.
What you really were thinking was, he's going to have a beard when we're finished.
Not on my watch, Jake. Not on my watch. No one gets luxurious beards like I have.
Right. Well, you could trash talk them with, because you're pretty good at that before deck battles. So
that's true. I'm trying, dude. Although I lost because I actually have an amazing track record with Risk. I probably have like an 80% win rate, like lifetime. For whatever
with
reason,
rolling
I'm really
dice?
Good at that game. Yeah.
Wow.
But we're playing with a Risk newbie.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't explain the full rules, but his very first turn, he looked at us and asked, hey, can I just take all my guys and go attack you? And we're like, yes, but that would be a very bad move. And he just like cut us off, was like, I'm doing it. And so it just spiraled out of control from there.
Where he had, like, beginner's luck? Is that what you're saying?
No, he took all of his dudes, threw them at one of our one of the players' base, and they all died. So then the other person just walked out and took over his base and then had a ton amount of resources for the rest of the game. It just steamrolled.
Like, wow.
The game was over in 2.5 rounds. It was, like, the fastest game of Risk ever.
You should have played 2 years' worth of Risk Legacy.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. It's a legacy. You can't rush legacies.
That's true. Yeah. Well, that sounds like an awesome game. I would love to try that.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. Risk Legacy is like $40, I think, on Amazon. I bought it. Make sure you don't buy it used, which the first one I got on Amazon was.
Oh.
Because it's like the worst possible game to buy used because someone else has already signed the board.
Yeah. You're going to need a lot of whiteout along with that.
All right, so let's move into Hearthstone, because this is not Happy Risk Legacy, although maybe it should
be. Spinoff. I'm feeling
a
spinoff here.
Once a year, a new episode.
I'll come back next year, and we'll talk about it.
Awesome.
I hope you win next year, by the way.
Thanks. Me too. All right, so you brought up these Designer Insight videos with Ben Brode, which I haven't watched yet.
Oh, okay.
Even though, obviously, I should be, but we've been on this vacation. I've just been busy. I've been busy, Jake. Don't judge me.
Josh, I just dug myself out of 3 feet of snow in Pennsylvania, and I still had time to watch them.
Yeah, that's because you're snowed up in a house, dude. If I could leave my house, too, I'd watch them. All right, so what do you love about these videos, and why should people watch them?
I think they're particularly interesting because I one thing I forgot to mention in the intro was that I am a web developer, and I work on mobile apps and websites and other consumer used products, and these videos kind of bring you into the process of building Hearthstone and what goes into the development process. And I thought it was interesting that Ben would take time out and talk to us about specific issues that the community sometimes has an issue with. One of them being consistency in card text, and the second one was the like perceived sporadic nature of content updates. And I think the first one about card text was very interesting because there are, I mean, me just thinking about the amount of room, sorry, Hearthstone just quit on me.
Wow, that's the amount messed of up.
Hearthstone is, you know, it's finicky, but so the consistency in card text, if you think about it, there's only three lines of text to describe what a card does. And some physical card games use, you know, 6, 7, 8 lines of text to explain what a card does.
Yeah.
So keeping it concise and consistent is a very hard job to do for the Hearthstone team, Team 5. But they seem to be doing a pretty good job. And the fact that he knows that there are issues with certain words within the text, it shows that the dialogue is happening and that in the future they'll be doing a lot more to make them, you know, more concise and easier to understand for someone just picking a new card up for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that really excites me about these videos is Blizzard has traditionally not done a lot of community videos like this. Like, they did some live streams, but they don't do a whole lot, and they don't do a lot of dev blogs compared to some other companies that are like constantly releasing this stuff. So it's really cool to get insights from Ben Brode, who's the lead designer on Hearthstone, about different things. Like he talked a while back about Dr. Boom and stuff like that too.
Right.
So this is just really cool. If you're interested in Hearthstone at all, if you're interested in card games, if you're interested in making games, I mean, this is really cool. There's not many high profile designers that frequently release stuff like this, so I highly recommend it. It's really cool.
Yeah. The hard thing for me is Blizzard's first exposure to me is technically Hearthstone. I played a little bit of Diablo 3, but not that much to like jump into the community forums and stuff like that. And Hearthstone was one of my first exposures to how Blizzard works, and I'm coming from a weird angle where they're giving me answers, and most people are used to them not giving them answers. So
you're a fortunate soul.
Very fortunate.
Cool. Yeah, so we'll put links to those videos in the show notes so you can check them out, or I'm sure you can just Google Ben Brode. Designer Insights is the name of his kind of series that he's doing.
And if Ben, if you're listening, keep it up. They're very good.
There you go. Thumbs up, Ben. 2 thumbs up.
Yes.
Dare we give 3 thumbs up?
Whoa. I don't know.
We've got 4. We should probably just give all 4.
Okay. 4 thumbs up.
4 thumbs up, Ben. Way to go, buddy. You did it. All right, let's get into the deck battle, though, because that's why people are really here, if we're being honest, Jake. I know. It's the hard truth.
Yeah, it's what makes us the money, what brings in the patrons.
The patrons, most of which are on the show currently. Thank you, Jake.
I don't include me. I'm just a legendary giver, that's all.
You're just a legend. No big deal.
Yeah, I'm trying to be modest here.
All right, so deck battles, if you aren't familiar, we do these deck battles about once a month. This is where guest hosts bring on their favorite deck to the show and break it down for you. It's not always the most meta decks, but it's always the most fun personal decks. Every now and then we bring on the meta decks as well, but most of the time, you already know about the meta decks. So we're trying to teach you new decks and give you new decks to try that are still strong. They aren't awful, but are just creative. Jake is going to go through the deck, tell us what cards he put in it, how it works, why he likes playing it. And then we're going to do a battle, best of 3, live on the show. where I'm going to be playing the reigning champion deck. That's the last deck a guest host brought into the show and won with, which, are you ready for this?
Mm-mm.
7 months ago.
Ooh.
Andrew brought on a Warlock Demon Zoo deck, and it has been undefeated since.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That's a big run there.
Yeah, this is officially now the longest run we've had.
Wow.
The very first deck that won on the show went on a winning spree, but it only beat like 4 decks, I think, and it was maybe like 5 months. So this one was way back in episode 49, so if you want to check it out, you can go look at it there. We're on episode 64, so 15 episodes later. That's a round number. Could be a sign.
I think it is a sign.
All of that is going to be on GameDiplomat.com. Also, Jake is putting together an awesome guide to the deck that he's about to go over that'll list all the cards, break down for each card why he put it in there, and then also list substitute cards. So if you don't have certain legendaries or epics, there's some commons and stuff that you can filter in. So you can still play the deck and get the essential experience, but have a little flexibility for those of us who are still building up our card collection. All right.
Exactly.
Jake, what is your deck about, buddy?
All right. Well, this is called the Summoning Portal Warlock. I know. Summoning portals, right?
So many portals.
Yes. Summoning portals have been a very interesting card for me since playing since the beta. It's just a card I've always wanted to work. I just couldn't figure out with the base set how to make it work. I mean, originally this...
So, hold on real fast.
Sure.
So, I was actually thinking Summoning Stone. So, can you tell
summoning
people
stone.
What Summoning Portal is and what this card
is? So Summoning Portal is a Warlock. I think it's a rare.
It's a common.
Common.
Actually.
Oh, wow. Even better. Is a 4 cost, 0 attack, a 4 health minion. And when it's on the board, it reduces any minions in your hand by 2 cost, but doesn't lower it below 1. So if you were holding a 3 cost minion and Summoning Portal was on the board, it'd be reduced to 1 cost. And if you were holding a 2 cost minion, it would reduce it to 1 because it can't go below 1.
Yeah. Which, I mean, when you have like a bunch of 4 cost cards in your hand, like suddenly next turn, you can throw down a ton of those suckers.
Yes. And in the early days of Hearthstone, the game was pretty slow, kind of not as aggro as most of the ranked is right now. So yeah. It kind of worked at first, but there was no way to really protect it very well. So as more and more decks or more and more sets have come out, I've worked more tools into protecting the Summoning Portal, and it's kind of landed around where it is now. I've tweaked it a lot, but yeah, that's the main reason why I made it.
Yeah, I'm excited because like you, and I think like a lot of people, when that was one of the first cards we latched onto, like people that like theory crafting and deck building, that's one of the cards like, ooh, let's see if we can make this work. Because one of the first famous decks was Murloc Warlock as well, which
yes.
is kind of a swarm deck anyways, mm-hmm. which feels very natural with a card like this.
Yes, and let me preface this. This is not really a swarm type of deck other than you wait till the very end of the game to swarm. You kind of have
okay.
to survive the
okay.
aggression of your opponent. And then drop the minions later.
Okay, so is it more... So it's more control early? Is it like a mid-game deck? Or are you going full late game?
This is... I would... Most of the games that I have won with this deck have been late game.
Okay.
It's certainly not a early game. And it could tend to... In the middle game, depending on your opponent. You could switch it up a little bit and be more aggressive if you know their control as well.
Okay, very cool. So what are some of the other key cards? Because Summoning Portal doesn't really tell you a whole lot about how you're going to win.
Correct, yeah. Summoning Portal is pretty much useless on its own. You have to protect it, and you have to drop other minions to take the benefit of Summoning Portal being out. So there are some Shadowflame targets in here to help clear boards.
Yeah, so can you remind people what that is?
Shadow Flame is the Warlock spell for cost. It will deal an area of effect damage to the other opponent's minions.
Read it. It is destroy a friendly minion and deal its attack damage to all enemy minions.
Ah, correct. Yeah, so if it was an 8 attack minion and you use Shadow Flame on it, it would do 8 damage to the other opponent's board, like all of their minions. So this is very useful if you're getting swarmed and you want to just clear the other side of the board.
Yeah.
Which can happen a lot if you don't draw any early game minions, which there's a few in this deck to help support with some healing.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, Shadow Flame is it's kind of a staple Warlock removal at this point.
Yeah.
So that's great.
I considered using Hellfire, mm-hmm. which deals 3 to all characters. But it just sometimes it doesn't clear off everything with a lot of death rattles and stuff now. High health death rattles, it just doesn't kill a lot of stuff. So
Yeah. Very cool. All right, what else you got in there?
I'd say the next key card for this is Emperor Thorazan. It does when this card came out, I was like, yes. the Vice Summoning Portal deck has another key card. And what he does is he does a permanent reduction to cards in your hand. So let me read his text. It is, he's a 6 cost, a 5/5. At the end of your turn, reduce cost of cards in your hand by 1. So this won't reduce the cost of your cards that are in your deck at the end of your turn. It's just anything in your hand. So when you drop him down, you end a summoning portal, it will reduce the cost of something in your hand by 3, which in Hearthstone, that can be pretty significant on high-cost minions, like a Sludge Belcher, 5 cost. If you use Summoning Portal and Emperor Thorazan, he becomes 3.
He becomes 2 cost.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, 2 cost. And
even
that's
better.
That's even better.
So how does Emperor Thorazan's effect combo with the Summoning Portal? Can it actually go below 1?
Yes, you are seeing into the future, my friend. He can reduce the cost of something to 0. One of my favorite combos is to drop a couple giants at once that cost 0 and Shadow Flame one of them and keep the other one around.
Dude, that's brutal.
Yeah, a lot of people don't see it coming because they're just like, what are they doing with these summoning portals? And all of a sudden, Thorazan comes out and can get pretty dangerous with the cost reduction.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I see a summoning portal, I instantly think swarm, so I start preparing for the swarm. I would never expect Big Thaddeus to start dropping.
Yes, that's you don't see it a lot, so it's very surprising.
Very cool. All right, what are your other big cards?
Okay, so this was another card that when it came out, I was very happy that it would support this late game type of deck, Antique Hillbot, which it was part of the Gauntlets vs. Gnomes set. He is a 5-cost 3/3 mech, and his battle cry reads, restore 8 health to your hero. Now, with you tapping constantly to pull cards, healing is pretty essential to outlast even a mid-range deck, but especially aggro. You'll be taking a lot of face damage if you can't get anything out early. So Healbot helps supplement a little bit of that health you're going to lose from tapping and just taking damage from other minions.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting, right? Because it seems like you have a lot of these minions that have spell-like effects on them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that kind of makes Summoning Portal actually not affect spells, but it's making it cheaper for you to get the spell effects rather than just bodies.
Right. That is one thing that is a little hard to pull off with this deck is you have to be heavy on minions if you want the summoning portal to work, because say you drop the summoning portal and all you have in your hand is Implosion, Shadow Flame, Hellfire. You didn't get any cost reduction. Yeah. Unless you dropped a Thor's Hand earlier. So
yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. Alright, what else you got? Any other key cards?
We have one more. We're gonna need to make some walls to protect against some aggression. So I have Sun Fury Protector / Defender of Argus. They're both kind of as essential as each other, in that having one in your hand is pretty helpful, because you could turn a summoning portal into a wall. You could turn a giant into a wall. Basically, put taunt on it. Let me read you what Sun Fury Protector does. It's a 2-cost, 2/3, with a battle cry, give adjacent minions taunt. And it pretty much the same thing for Defender of Argus, but he is a 4-cost, 2/3 that gives 1/1, or +1/+1 and taunt to adjacent minions. So basically, you can turn any minion into a taunt minion. And help protect your character from taking too much damage.
So you're never putting that on the summoning portal to get like the stats on it so it can attack, right? You're only putting that on other things to keep the summoning portal behind a wall.
Well, desperate times call for desperate measures. Sometimes I actually have survived a few more turns by turning a summoning portal into a wall. And it does have 4 health, so...
Yeah.
2 attack or 3 attack minions not going to take it down without help from something else. So.
Yeah. All right. Desperate times. That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, 4 health was a lot.
Yeah.
But the 4 cost on the for 0/4 is what makes summoning portal hard to use.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts before we battle to the death?
I hope you're good at math, because I'm going to be reducing a lot of costs here.
Dude, I'm not even going to worry about it. That's too much math, because most of the decks that we do on the show, we build the deck list ahead of time so I can build the show notes and stuff, so I have some idea of what's in the deck. I have seen nothing about this deck except for those 5 cards we just talked about, so I don't even know what math I would be doing in my head.
Josh, it's going to be like Black Friday. I'm going to be slashing prices all over the place.
I'm excited. Well, I'm just going to keep doing what I do, which is beat other people's decks with Andrew's Demon Warlock.
I think you should be a little scared.
Or Demon Zoo. Sorry, not Demon Warlock.
Demon Zoo.
Scared? I'm not scared. Come on. I beat Summoning Portal 2 years ago. What's it got now?
Oh, it's way different now. Thanks to Ben Brode and all those designers coming out with new cards.
Cool. So if I lose, it's Ben Brode's fault. I'm in.
Okay, yeah, we'll blame him.
Yeah, works for me.
All right.
Cool. Well, we're going to go do a best of 3 series, which you can watch in its entirety in our show notes, gamediplomat.com, and we'll link to the show notes all there. So we'll be right back. All right, we are back. I have to say, Andrew's Demon Zoo deck is unstoppable. It can't be beat. Dude, it's flexible. It hung with you when we went late game, and it rushed you like crazy in the second game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it definitely is formidable, and I don't think the summoning portals were even drawn until the end of match 1.
And never in match 2. I mean, yeah. I only saw it once, which was on like your very last turn in match 1. It seemed unfortunate. So did you get bad draws? Is that what happened?
I don't think it was bad draws. It was the first game I could have really used a Shadow Flame.
Yeah.
At the end
of
there.
I was terrified of that, because you dropped 3 8/8 giants on one turn. It was terrifying.
Yeah. your aggression was to your disadvantage for me using the Sea Giants there.
Yeah. Sea Giants, and you also pulled out the Mind Control Technician.
Yes, the Mind Control Tech is a very surprising card for some people. Especially, well, this deck was... One of the reasons I built it was to counter aggro with something that could use its tools against it. So, yeah, it just happens that Demon Zoo is aggro.
Yeah. It was surprising. So the second game, I drew really well. And I even comment in the live stream, like, my starting hand was Knife Juggler, Imp Gang Boss, and Implosion. I think, which is like, that is my perfect starting hand. That is what I want every game on that. So, yeah. I mean, I was punching face early, and like turn four, turn five, I called the game done. I was like, all right, I got this. Then all of a sudden, you pulled out the Giants, you did a Shadow Flame, you wiped the board, you threw down some, like, two taunt guys. It was getting really scary there.
Yeah, one of the main inspirations for some of these supplemental cards in the Summoning Portal deck is Handlock and their use of the Molten Giants being reduced by the damage you take. It was one thing when I was watching some live streams early into playing Hearthstone was just thinking about how these cards could work together, and the fact that you took a bunch of your goal is to take damage to me, and my goal is to receive the damage so I can potentially use this card at a very discounted rate.
Yeah, I mean, it worked really well because the combination between that and then you were also running Sea Giant.
Yes.
And then the one turn that you were able to combo that with the Summoning Portal at the end was crazy. You played those for zero or one cost each.
Yes, yeah, that's one thing that's pretty interesting. So if you have a Summoning Portal in your hand and a Sea Giant, when you lay down the Summoning Portal, it actually reduces the Sea Giant by three because the Summoning Portal minion reduces Sea Giant by one in itself.
Yeah, so it and that combo allows it to reduce it to zero as well.
Yes.
It doesn't hit that one cap.
Correct. Yes, the Sea Giant, its text can read its card text has its ability to become zero because if there is enough minions on the board, it's itself will already be zero. So, if I think we're talking about in game one, I dropped Summoning Portal, then a Molten Giant, then a Sea Giant, and that was like a huge swing turn, and it. If I would have had the ability to create them into taunts, that would have been even bigger.
Yeah, that was just terrifying. I mean, and that honestly was the turn when I got the deck and I was like, oh. Because, like, sure, Handlock can drop two of those, but, like, dropping three of those on one turn and then leaving Summoning Portal up, which is also a threat that I feel like I need to get rid of, or else
right.
It's just going to kind of spiral out of control.
I believe Andrew's deck was just on the verge of being a little too fast for my deck to keep up with, but it was still really close.
Yeah, it was surprising how quickly you would get back in the game. So I also noticed, it's funny, you have Kel'Thuzad in there too.
Oh yes, that's just a little bit of extra insurance that you have something on the board late in the game if you need to trade it. Ensuring there's stuff on the board for you to turn into taunts is very helpful to protecting the summoning portals. Because, like I said earlier, at the beginning, in vanilla Hearthstone, summoning portals were almost impossible to protect. There were only a limited amount of taunts. And with Kel'Thuzad in general helps you keep stuff on the board to protect. So if you can get a straight taunt minion to reincarnate, that's super helpful.
Yeah, I mean, because you're running Sludge Belchers in there too, which is like the perfect target for Kel'Thuzad to work
yes.
with.
Very, very, like 100% ideal if you can get him to resurrect Sludge Belcher.
So it was kind of funny because I felt a lot of those cards, like the Mind Control Technician, mm-hmm. Kel'Thuzad, Summoning Portal, those are like old school cards. Was that kind of your goal, to go back to like cards that people maybe have forgotten how good they are?
I think it might be a product of this deck just kind of staying in my deck slot since as long as I can remember, and just constantly tweaking it. Yeah. I do have a small love for the almost probably a big love for the old original cards, the basic deck, and using them makes you realize how sometimes the new sets open up possibilities, like I said, with healing and protecting, but sometimes the base set just has a lot of value and very helpful in certain situations.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like, I've been actually been seeing the mind control technician a lot in Arena, where it's very good. And it is, I mean, it's a 3-cost 3/3. I mean, if you can steal anything from the opponent, you steal a 1/1 from the opponent, it's value. That's good right there.
Yeah, I feel like if mind control tech was written now, it would be a slightly discounted body to do something like that. But when Vanilla Hearthstone came out, there were a lot of swing cards that were super helpful. Maybe a bit above the vanilla scale, even though you didn't have to buy certain cards. I think is mind control tech. It's in the classic packs, right?
Yeah, it is. I think it's one of the free cards.
Is it? I don't think it's a free card, is it?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was.
I'd have to check. Let me pull it up right now so we can say for certain.
So we aren't lying.
Looks like it is a rare, so it's in the...
Okay.
You have to pull it from a classic pack.
So you have to get it from a pack, but it's super good.
Mm-hmm.
So
now you'll be able to read more into this deck, right, than on Game Diplomat, but there are some cards you didn't even get to see, like Sylvanas Windrunner. She's good... if you can discount her and play her with Shadow Flame, you can destroy her and steal a big minion that's left over.
Oh, cool. So you can force it to happen right away. That's clever.
Sorry. I think you might be cutting out a little bit, Josh. Sorry.
Oh, my bad.
So you can
force it to happen right away.
Yes. You can choose when... One of the downfalls of Sylvanas is her death rattle reads, take control of a random enemy minion. But sometimes you can't control when she dies. It's usually on the opponent's turn. And sometimes she gets silenced, which then you lose the entire death rattle effect. If you do it on the same turn, you drop her. Even though she has summoning sickness, her death rattle still goes off. If you use Shadow Flame.
Okay, so that's fun. What other cards you got in there that I didn't get to see?
I'm sorry?
What other cards did you get in there that I didn't get to see?
Let's see, we had... I think I used Siphon Sold once on you.
Yeah, I was terrified of that when I started dropping down like Dr. Boom and stuff. And you were running a Big Game Hunter as well. Just
one copy
card.
Of Big Game, yes. It's very helpful in the ladder where everyone's running a copy of Dr. Boom. Yeah, that one turn was pretty swingy where I was able to kill all of your minions, including Dr. Boom.
That was scary, dude.
Shadow Flame plus Big Game Hunter.
Yeah. I was actually fairly impressed by the deck. Even though we didn't get to Summoning Portal, you could see what the Summoning Portal was trying to do.
Yes.
And I really like that. I also love that kind of, it almost feels nostalgic of running Kel'Thuzad again, running Mind Control Technician again. Like, I just love that. That's so cool. But it does have the modern stuff like Big Game Hunter that you just have to be running nowadays. That's cool.
Right. I would definitely appreciate if anyone wants to run with this deck and improve it in any way that you see fit for the ladder, go for it. Because, like I said, I've been trying for a really long time to make summoning portals work, but I think these games point out one of the flaws is if you don't draw them, some of the discounted, the things you're going for discounting your minions don't work as well. But there's still some stuff to fall back on, like healing and taunts.
Yeah, which are always good for a control type deck. Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, you never got, or at least I never saw Emperor Thurisian either.
No, unfortunately, I wasn't able to. And I think sometimes a good game played with this deck kind of hinges on having Thorazin hit at least one time. It really helps reduce the cost of your Bolton Giants, your Sea Giants, and any Defender of Argus that you're going to use on those Giants. You can combo those really nicely. Even though this deck is meant to counter aggro, sometimes the ultra aggro will, you know, just beat you out with the minions you're trying to drop down.
Yeah, I mean, because the scariest moments that you had in this deck was when there was suddenly a big wall of giants on the table because you were able to get some sort of cost reduction effect on them.
Yeah.
And suddenly I was looking at 24 damage to the face next turn unless I solved something. It was a huge swing. So, I mean, it was really unfortunate that you didn't draw those because that does seem key. But it's interesting. Now, maybe they'll add another sort of cost reduction card effect card in the future as well, because I think right now you can run 3 in your deck. But if you could run 5 in your deck, that gets a lot more reliable.
Now, one thing I will note in Game Diplomat is that some of the card substitutions that I have personally tried have been Faceless Manipulator on top of the summoning portals, which help reduce the cost even more. But they're 5 cost, and sometimes they just are a little too slow. Take this way back to the first time I was conceptualizing this. I just threw some summoning portals in to a random deck, and one of my first legendaries that I ever got was Ragnaros.
Yeah.
And I pulled a Faceless Manipulator in that same pack, and I was like, oh, that would be so cool to have 3 Ragnaros on the table at once. And I was able to pull it off one time.
Really?
Yeah.
And just dealing 24 random damage each turn.
it was amazing. It was the most glorious moment of Hearthstone. And I just kind of wanted to replicate that same feeling. Now, Ragnaros is very hard to pull off because of you're not getting any synergy with the number of minions on the board. Yeah. Or your health being reduced. So ultimately, Ragnaros was removed for other giants, but
original cool concept. Idea. Very cool. So do you want to share any other thoughts about the deck before we move on?
I just am proud of where it is now, that it was able to at least compete with Andrew's deck, and hopefully in the future with a couple more key early minions to help this deck out, I think we can get Summoning Portal into the meta.
Yeah, dude, I'm on board. I'll start playing around with it, because, Mind Control Technician, dude, that was the star for me. That was one of those, like, moments where it's like, man, I forgot, because, like, if Murloc ever comes back where they're just swarming, even Token, I guess Token Paladin, you might steal a token, that's not great, but I'm going to play around with that card some more. All right, let's jump into the community section.
All right.
We don't have a question, but that's fine, because we're running late already. We did get 2 iTunes reviews, though.
All right.
Nick Teresa wrote in, said, great, informative, friendly podcast. This is consistently one of the podcasts that I look forward to. A new one in my stream always makes me happy. That's our goal. We did it.
Sweet.
Everybody's happy. Keep up the awesome work. Fist bumps all around. If you're listening right now, just give yourself a little fist bump and smile. Life's a little better. I just did it to myself, too.
I imagine him doing that out there. That was on Christmas Eve, by the way.
Oh, that's true. With little sugar plums dancing in his head, or whatever it is. Or her, I'm not sure. Maybe it was a sugar plum, whatever that is.
Up all night thinking about presents, and Rhoda's a little present herself.
Aw, that's nice. Thanks. All right, then Phil Arena says, best Hearthstone podcast for casual players. On Christmas Day. What? The very next day.
Wow.
There are a lot of good Hearthstone podcasts out there, but this one is special. If you're like me and you enjoy the game, but you're not obsessed with getting to Legend and don't really follow esports, you'll get a lot more out of this podcast than the others. I love the upbeat tone, the many guests who bring a variety of perspectives, the detailed arena constructed card reviews, and the card of the week and song, which is coming up.
Whoa.
Get your singing voice ready, buddy. And the deck battles. Check this one out. You won't regret it. thank you, Philarina and Nick Teresa, for the kind reviews. If you want to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, we'll also read it out on the show. And so you can do that there. Even though it's not Christmas or Christmas Eve, it's still a great time to leave a review. All right, donations. We got none. In fact, someone canceled their donation this week.
Oh,
no.
Oh, man. We're like a cable TV show.
We are.
Oh, no.
They're just picking us up and dropping us off whenever they want.
It's
That's
okay.
Fine.
We could still live on Netflix.
That's true. Netflix. We'll get a revival. Let's get a cult following going in so we can get it up there like Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
When you think about it, we are kind of the Gilmore Girls of Hearthstone podcast, right?
Sure. You could put that subtitle on Happy Hearthstone if you want.
Happy Hearthstone, the Gilmore Girls of Hearthstone. Hey, that would get us at least one new listener. My wife would love it. She'd be excited.
She'd be like, what's this new Gilmore Girls Hearthstone thing I heard about?
I keep hearing about. I'm so intrigued. There you go. We'll bring in a new target audience.
You let me know how that works out, Josh.
Yeah, I will. All right. The other community segment, the Dust Bowl.
Ooh.
This is live stream before the show. We open the packs donated each month where Jake, once again, you're coming through. 7 packs for us.
Whoa.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm so happy for you.
Me too. You've gotten us a legendary every single time, except today.
Oh, shoot.
I know.
The luck is running out, I guess.
It is. But we still got 35 cool cards out of the packs. And we're going to choose one to save and one to dust out of the bunch.
Sounds great.
So let's cards to save. Which are you saving out of what we got and why?
I would save the Sunwalker because it's a great...
Oh, wait. Let me guess. Is it because it's an old school card that was popular and you're trying to bring it back into the meta like everything else?
Oh, this one is like the hipster version of Hearthstone cards. It was cool and it's being revived. Actually, I don't think Summoning Portal was ever cool, by the way.
That's true.
I think it's always been looked down upon. But Sunwalker is a pretty solid minion. If you look at the stats that you get for it, you get it's 6 cost, 4/5 with
Divine Shield and
Taunt. Divine Shield, yes. Sometimes I can't remember
the verbiage,
because there's so many different card games. This is a pretty solid minion. It you're gonna have to at least run 2 minions into it or ping it and use a spell or any combination of those two. It's pretty beefy, and I like to run it in a warrior deck, the Dragon Warrior that uses we were just talking about this, I can't remember his name.
Dragon?
Rin. No,
Varian Rin, his dad. Unvarian Rin. Oh, wait, let's see.
Yeah, he pulls out 3 cards, and if any of them are minions, they go directly into the battlefield.
Oh, it is Varian Rin. And Antuin Rin, or something, is his son. All right.
And that's the priest character.
That's the priest, yeah.
Yeah. So, the Sunwalker, I'm not saying that he's only useful in that type of deck, but if you can get him out for free, if you throw him into the Summoning Portal deck, then that would be really awesome.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Bam. I love it. I'm going to save Lightning Storm.
Very solid spell.
Yeah, it's just a great AoE spell, which I love. It's nice and cheap on Shaman's side, and then it comes with a little, what do they call that? Locked mana crystals, whatever they are.
Overload,
there you go.
Is it Overload 1 or 2?
It's Overload 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's worth it. You're clearing the board. That's fine.
Right.
Kill those Murlocs.
Sometimes you have to pay up front for stuff you get later.
It's true. And then you just Elemental or Lava Lash or whatever it is that unlocks your crystals anyways. NBD.
Yeah. For all sure. Right.
Card to dust. I am getting rid of this Gold Lights champion. Like, he's a fine minion. Sure, you can silence a demon. That's so specific. First of all, there aren't many demons you actually want to silence. Most of them don't do a whole lot, or they have battle cry effects, which already happened, so you don't care.
I agree with you on this one. And plus, since we're talking about the Dust Bowl, if you have any mediocre, pretty bad cards that are gold, you get even more dust for those.
Yeah, you can instantly craft a card of the same rarity if you do a gold one. So I mean, yeah, that's a no-brainer. That's an instant rare card.
There you go.
Give me Knife Juggler. Way happier.
A lot more versatile.
Yeah. All right. So what do you, Dustin?
Mine will be Eye for an Eye. This is a card that needs a bad scenario for it to be good. So those are usually not the most awesome cards to have. So
yeah.
The text reads, when your character takes damage, deal that damage to the opponent. It's a secret for Paladin. And man, is that terrible.
Yeah, I mean, because most of the time, well, you're deal 2, maybe 3 damage to their face.
Mm-hmm.
But again, for the card to be good, you have to take a ton of damage to the face. You want to take 20 damage to the face.
Right.
But then you're taking 20 damage to the face, and you don't really want that either.
I have seen scenarios in the arena where this actually creates a draw scenario.
Oh, because they kill each other. Yeah. Or kill both players.
The opponent is pretty much around the same health total, and they both take the same amount of damage, and they both die.
So if the best case you can have for your card is that it might help you draw at some point, like, that's just not a good sign.
Yeah, for sure. All right,
I'm with you there. Let's nuke it. It's only common, but hey, we'll take the 5 dust or whatever it is that it gives. Better than Eye for an Eye.
How much dust do you have right now, Josh? You're dusting all of these cards.
You know, I don't know how much dust I have. I don't have a lot because I crafted a couple legendaries not too long ago.
Oh.
I crafted so I crafted when the expansion came out.
Yeah.
I crafted Maligos.
That's a good one.
Which was really good because I was having fun with a spell powered deck. I crafted something else. I don't remember. I crafted a neutral one as well, but that ate up most of my dust.
Yeah.
So I have some sitting around. I'm saving up because I really want to do the Dreadsteed deck. It's just so fun. But it's like I need to craft like so many epics. Or just like and I don't have Lord Jiraxxus either, so I got to craft him. Like just for that deck alone, I have to spend so much dust. I'm saving up. Maybe someday. It's just hard to do it for a one-off deck, you know?
I feel like people who pilot that deck have to wear the Trollolol face while piloting it. It's
I love. See, that's exactly the sort of deck that I want to play in like PvE, just to play around with and just see what sort of shenanigans I can pull off with it. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun losing too as well. It's a pretty good deck.
See, I feel like I wish there was a switch in game where I could say like, "Hey, cut my Elo by half." And I'm just going to play these awful decks. Like, because I'll half build a Dreadsteed deck.
Right.
And as long as I know that I could play against a match where, like, even though I'm playing this terrible deck, I still have a chance, I'd be totally happy.
I think you're onto something here. It could be an interesting game mode where you declare you're not trying to win. You're just trying to have some fun.
That sounds like it's asking to be gamed by tryhards right there.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not trying to win, I swear.
It could be a form of, like, a limited where you can only use certain cards.
Oh, that'd be kind of fun. Oh, man, it'd be fun to have a mode where you could only play the classic cards. Like, play just classic Hearthstone again.
Wow.
That should be a tavern brawl. Bam! Done!
It sounds amazing.
Yeah, that'd be fun. You could go in and you could play your summoning portal.
Yeah. People would be so surprised.
Yeah. All right, so what is our... wait! You got to sing the card of the week song, buddy.
I do.
Did you prepare something?
I prepared a small little tribute to the...
You can just dive into it. You don't have to sell it. Just do it.
Okay. Here we go. Innkeeper to Mage Jaina. Innkeeper to Mage Jaina. Your deck is full and you need the card of the week. There you go.
I love it. A good tribute, too, to David Bowie.
The late David Bowie.
The late David Bowie.
Oh, he was an amazing artist, and we can all hope we could sing like him one day.
I'm not sure that's how singing works, but I hope we can all develop that power. That'd be awesome.
You just hope and it happens.
All right. What else are you hoping for? What is the card of the week?
The card of the week, we're going back to the classic set again here. It's just a theme throughout this episode, 64. We're taking a look at Alarmabot. He is a 3-cost 0/3. Where have I seen similar stats like this? He is a mech, so you get a little bit of extra flavor here. And his text reads, at the start of your turn, swap this minion with a random one in your hand. I also like his sound effect. It's like, wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, the little light flashes.
Yep. They need more cool animations like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, so this card is interesting, right? Because it's a risk. You put it out there and you give your opponent an entire turn to kill it. And it's only 3 health. So there's a lot of ways to kill it. But if they don't, bam, you swap it with something in your hand, you can do it again. This was used early on to sneak out stuff, especially on like Mage and stuff. That had a lot of freeze and stuff you could work with. Sneak out like big giants and stuff like that.
I think some people still use this in Malygos decks, don't they? Or am I incorrect?
That would not surprise me. I haven't seen that, but that would not surprise me at all.
I'm pretty sure most Malygos decks will only run this, or Malygos himself, and maybe some spell damage. But
yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think this card kind of fell out of favor when so many good Battlecry cards came out.
Right.
Because this bypasses Battlecry, which, like, if you're running stuff like Antique Healbot, even if you have one Antique Healbot and 4 other minions you want Alarmobot to hit, you're scared to put this guy down because if he steals your Antique Healbot, there goes your healing.
Yes. Also, if you have another Alarmobot in your hand, you don't want to
grab him. They just cycle back and forth.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the ultimate troll right there. You're just like...
I have nothing but Alarmobots and spells in my hand.
Yeah. Or it's like the party deck, right? You cast like arcane missiles, Alarmobots doing their signal thing all the time. It's like a raven there.
Bring your glow sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you would think maybe a mech deck would want to use this, but you still don't even see it in mech decks.
Yeah, because most of the mechs are cheap enough that you'd rather just play the mech directly rather than risk around with this guy.
Yeah, but I guess maybe I could see a turn 4 combo with the mech warper.
Oh, okay.
This would be 2 cost with the mech warper.
Yeah, and suddenly they have to choose which one of those 3 health minions they want to kill because they're both pretty important.
Yeah.
Whoa, theory crafting over here. Love
I think
it.
So. Maybe we should do a theory craft episode.
Hey, we'll just wait for the Tavern Brawl to come out when you can only play. Oh, but then the other mechs won't be there. Bummer. Never
yeah.
mind.
Yeah. What makes this slightly better are the other mechs from Goblins versus Gnomes.
All right. So that's card of the week. Any other thoughts on Alarmobot?
I've seen gold versions of it, and it is glorious.
Yeah. Oh, I will say, I think it's actually a pretty good draw in Arena as well, where your opponent is much less likely to have removal.
Don't you think it puts you kind of behind on turn 3, though, if you don't pull anything decent?
Yes. I don't see it played on turn 3 very much. So since I lost 7 arenas this week opening your card packs, I saw them a few times. I saw them in Mage most often.
Hmm.
And they would wait until they had like a freeze in this.
Okay.
Or they'd have enough control that they would have just cleared the board, and it's like turn 5, 6, and then they'd throw this down, and then it'd just bring in a big fatty the next turn.
Interesting. I guess I just never thought of it that way. Like, the reason this card would be good is because you already have control, so then you're just bringing in more.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there you go. That may not be a great way to use it, but hey, it beat me in Arena. So if you want to beat 0-2 teams in Arena as well. Alarmobot's your boy.
I wish I could play against you every time in Arena.
Yeah, you are not alone in that feeling, I'm sure. So, like, I used to be quite good at Arena. Like, I would go 7-3, 8-3 pretty often.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, like, the past couple months, I have been terrible at Hearthstone. I think my juju left. It's gone.
Got to get the juju back. I think with the release of, what was...
League of Explorers?
No, the one before that, the Argent Tournament one. Yeah. I think Arena has has really pushed towards the draft, making a good draft rather than being super skilled at your play. Because there's some minions that just snowball the game very quickly. Like, even if, I'm having a really hard time remembering card names today, but it's the one that will do four damage. He's a 9 cost. He does 4 damage when he comes out.
Oh, yeah. It's the
Kraken, I think.
Titanic. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it is the purple height.
Yeah.
Purple Kraken.
He can snowball the game for you.
Yeah.
Tremendously fast. More than I think Flamestrike can sometimes.
Yeah, there's a lot of those minions that have built-in removal in them now that is just really strong in Arena.
Right, and some of the Inspire mechanics are, once they fire once or twice, you're just done.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to do it for our show this week. Thanks for hanging around. We're going to have full show notes along with links to the games that we played, the full deck list that Jake built for the Warlock Summoning Portal deck that you should check out. All that is going to be on gamediplomat.com. Just click on Hearthstone at the top. You can see everything. As always, we'd love to know what you thought of the show and what you'd like to see added for future episodes. You can always find us on Google+, Happy Hearthstone. I'm on Twitter at jaugustine, or just email me directly, ajosh@outlook.com, or comment on the blog, gamediplomat.com. Also, if you haven't gone to the blog, I did some non-Hearthstone stuff on there recently for the end of the year, and also some other games that I've been enjoying. So if you like video games, and I think you do, you're listening to a Hearthstone podcast, you should check that out. Let me know what you thought of that stuff, too. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us, like Jake does every month, which we appreciate. You can find more info at gamediplomat.com/donate. Jake, where can people find out more about you or talk with you about your sweet deck?
Well, people can find me on Twitter. Basically, any social media, it is DarthYoda19. I enjoy Star Wars, so if you want to talk about Star Wars as well.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, so there you go.
There's so much more to talk about now with all the movies and the upcoming movies. I guess Twitter is the best place to get a hold of me if you want to talk about the Summoning Portal deck.
Awesome.
Really enjoyed being on the show. Josh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Jake. Thanks for coming on the show. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hope to come back soon and we can just talk about Hearthstone. I love doing that.
I'm so down with that. All right, so thanks for joining us, Jake, once again. And thanks again for everyone visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.